This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What does it take to improve maternal health for everyone? It takes a new model of care for mothers and babies. It takes deeper connections in patients' communities and comprehensive care before pregnancy and far beyond. It takes Philadelphia's only hospital exclusively dedicated to women and families to reinvent maternal health care and improve outcomes for all women. It takes Temple Health.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Well, good morning, Jim Costa, John Jansen, Heather Park. You had Falar on the update. You have Greg and Gov behind the glass. Good morning, John.
Good morning, my friend. How are you?
Good.
It's good to see you.
Good
happy
weekend.
Monday.
Yeah, happy Monday. Yeah.
Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Oh, it is.
Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Nobody's in green. Little disappointed.
You're in like an olive.
It's the only green thing I own, but.
I don't have any green. I just don't have any green.
You don't have any other green. You went to Michigan State. That's the only green you have.
I have one green MSU sweatshirt that I don't like. Like, I don't like the fit of it, so I'm not going to wear it. And I don't know. Over the years, I've just lost all of my MSU stuff. I don't have anything. I have one. I've got, like,
I don't think you can actually claim them as your people anymore.
I have, like, a sorority hoodie. Like, I have some stuff, but it's not green.
So 10 o'clock, anyway. We get off the air. We're all going out to a pub. We're going to drink green beer. Is that what we're doing today?
Absolutely not.
No?
No. Green beer sounds awful.
It tastes the same as regular beer.
I know. It's how it exports. That sounds awful.
That's future John's problem.
Yeah. Yes. Well, you start drinking beer at 10:30. There's a lot of future John problems at that point.
But for those who are going to get out today and have a good time, enjoy it. Happy St. Patrick's Day. The bracket is out, as you heard in the update, John. Michigan State in the same region.
Yeah. I mean, I know everybody's all up in arms. Oh, how could they possibly be in the same region? Whatever. Oh, who cares? You're in the bracket. You got a seat at the table. Now, if you're good, all right, if you think you got a shot, now go play the damn games. I don't enjoy the bickering about, we could make a case for Michigan to, you know, instead of being a 5 seed, should they be a 4? Should they be a 3? Okay, flip a coin. I honestly don't care. I understand the argument. Mm-hmm. I also understand why they're a 5 seed. They didn't finish strong. And I know you're supposed to take all, you know, the entire season, mm-hmm. but you're in. You know who you're playing. You got some film to watch. Now go study, go perform, and just win.
I mean, bickering's kind of what we do, so I'll invite it today.
Okay. Okay.
If I'm a Michigan fan, I do feel like my conference tournament championship was irrelevant, that it didn't matter that they went out and won these games, that they were placed as a 5 seed when Purdue, for example, is a 4. Explain that, right? Wisconsin, who they beat twice this year, is a 3. And Michigan ended up with the 4th most quad one wins in the country, taking the total body of work into it all.
I think those things.
I think a 5 is wrong. I think this is a long-held farce that they don't care what happens in the tournament championship game. It's like they've already made the bracket regardless of if you win. The game's being played. We're keeping score. It should matter. It should count towards where you're placed in the bracket. And I don't love their draw from a matchup standpoint either. You know, I mean, we got 4 hours, but John, they're going to draw a team that's 5th in the nation in steals. a team that turns you over almost more than anybody in the game. And we know Michigan's issue with turnovers. And if the Wolverines were to win the first game, they would likely play a 4 seed who crashes the offensive glass. Another issue for Michigan at times this season. It's a bad draw for the Wolverines.
Go win. Okay. UC San Diego. All right. Yeah. They turn the ball over, but they're little people. All right, you have 2 7-footers, Area 51. Then go dominate. Is this a game that height still matters? Size does matter? It should. Now go out and perform. Don't turn the ball over.
Easier said than done. I've watched Michigan enough. Yes. You've watched Michigan enough this season. Area 51 sounds good on paper, right? Rolling 2 7-footers out there. The problem is, how about Danny Wolf, who is 7 feet tall but has a turnover problem? They're going to get in there and they're going to grab the ball and poke the ball away and take Michigan out of their game. It's a bad matchup. This was a team that everybody was circling a week ago as, 30 wins, upset potential. And Michigan, I don't care that they won a couple games in the Big Ten tournament. That is a bad matchup for them. I don't trust them.
Well, who does?
I don't know. Maybe some Michigan fans feel like the light bulb went on.
Okay, well, maybe the light bulb did. Then if the light bulb did, if that's your theory, then it doesn't matter.
Right.
All right, so it's and going into the tournament, what was our conversation? Where did we think Michigan was going to be?
What? Right around here.
6 or 7 seed, right?
Yeah.
And so they win the tournament, they're a 5 seed. So they bumped up.
Yeah, it's just when you compare them to 4 seed Purdue.
Yes.
Right.
Purdue, yeah. You played them 3 times. Trust me, I'm hyper aware of that record. And I do know that I have bragging rights over my daughter for the foreseeable future because, yeah, they got blown out at Mackey, which a lot of teams do. And then when they played in Chrysler, they won. When they played on a neutral court, they won. And same thing with Wisconsin, right? You play early in the season, it's a top 11 team, you win, and then you beat them for the Big Ten championship, you win. But going into this final weekend, there was no one that really trusted what Michigan was. And I don't even know that Michigan trusted themselves. They needed better guard play, and it wasn't great at all times. They did enough to win. They still turned the ball over. At one point, I was watching, I can't remember if it was the Maryland game or the Wisconsin game. Maybe I think it was the Maryland game. They had, at the beginning of the game, as many turnovers as they had field goals. And so you are who you are, right?
They're a deeply flawed team.
And so going into the tournament, it was, you lost to Michigan State twice, and it wasn't particularly close games. But you lost to a team that ended up with a number 2 seed. And then it was heroics at the end of Nebraska, Washington, Rutgers. It was heroics to win those games.
Mm-hmm.
And there wasn't really anybody that had a whole lot of faith. I even said it, I don't know that they win another game after they had lost to Illinois by 20.
And yet they win 3 straight to win the Big Ten Tournament Championship. I don't think the committee was even aware or cared that they did that. So if you want to gripe about it, 248-539-9797. I don't have a gripe that they're in the same region. I kind of like that Michigan and Michigan State are in the same region.
Well, there's 2 ways to look at it. And I think everybody, I was as well, was worried but wanted the matchup at the Big Ten Championship game.
Mm-hmm.
Michigan State didn't make it. Michigan did. They ended up playing Wisconsin. They win. They go on. And you're thinking, all right, pipe dream. You'd rather play them as late as possible in the tournament to have that Michigan-Michigan State matchup. Problem is, I think Michigan State could make a deep run and will make a deep run. Michigan, probably not going to happen. So the better chance to actually have a head-to-head matchup, yet again, 3 in this year, would be to have them in the same region so that you could play sooner.
That's why I like it, right? I mean, there's this dream that they could be at opposite ends and play for a national title. They've never played in the tournament ever. I don't think they're going to meet in the national title. If you want that matchup, that rivalry, that clash for all the marbles, it's more likely to happen because they're in the same region. And by the way, a region that if I'm MSU, I don't hate the placement. Auburn's your 1 seed. They've lost 3 of their last 4 games. The 3 seed Iowa State is not the team they were when the season began because of a couple injuries. If I'm MSU, I'm going, hey, I got a decent shot to get out of this bracket here. And I'm not afraid to play in Michigan. I kicked their ass twice.
Right. Well, at least in terms of their region, if you just take you know, those 16 teams, they're on the opposite side of that bracket.
Yeah, as so I think Fuller said in the update, they play to go to the Final Four, right?
Right.
Yeah. Which is plenty of stakes.
Yeah, plenty of drama in that.
248-539-9797. And yeah, a reminder, by the way, they're both going to play late to kick off the NCAA tournament.
I know that some team has to play at 10 o'clock at night. Just hate it that both teams locally here are going to be playing at 10 o'clock at night on a Thursday night.
Yeah, you might be realizing this for the first time. MSU is going to play Friday night, about 10 o'clock.
Oh, sorry. Friday night.
Michigan is going to play Thursday night, opening night of the tournament, with a 10 o'clock tip. You're going to be up till midnight if you're a Wolverine fan. So.
Could be. Or.
Or you won't make it.
Score in the morning.
Say, or you won't make it. 248-539-9797. Some other big takeaways from the bracket coming out. We got open lines talking Wolverines and Spartans. Before the hour ends, JB Bickerstaff pounding the table. Get your
as
thoughts.
As he should.
Great audio. It's 97.1.
Hey, FanDuel is turning the excitement up even higher for college basketball through the first two rounds of the tournament. Here's what you got to do. Bet on the lowest winning seed of the day, and you're going to win a share of $1 million in bonus bets. Now, that's an upset that, hey, if you want to talk about some local teams, maybe it is UC San Diego over Michigan, or it's a Bryant over Michigan State. Again, it's the lowest seed that will win you. FanDuel is the best place to bet on the tournament. You can bet on everything from spreads to money lines and team totals and so much more. Visit FanDuel.com/971Detroit. That's FanDuel.com/971Detroit to download America's number one sportsbook today and back your dog of the day. Because in March, anything and everything will happen. Must be 21 or over and present in Michigan. Opt-in required. Winning pre-live money live money line wager on lowest seed required. Each $1 million jackpot to be split equally among all eligible winners. Bonus bets are non-withdrawable and expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions do apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 45% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
When you get a cancer diagnosis, your world stops, but not Fox Chase Cancer Center. When the science moves quickly, we move quicker, because cancer is all we do. From the molecular level to the human level, we stay focused on your unique cancer, not just following the science, but discovering new paths forward, giving you a head start on better outcomes. Learn more at foxchase.org/where you start, because where you start matters.
How about that for guard play? A thriller as Michigan beat Maryland to go to the Big Ten title game. We watched. I don't know if the committee did.
Yep.
Because Michigan ends up as a 5. I think you have every right to have beef with the bracket if you're a Wolverine fan. To win 3 in 3 days and to have it seemingly have already been seeded. Ticket Texter points out, in addition to that, they get a short turnaround, high altitude, and play late night on Thursday night.
UC San Diego will be playing at the same altitude. Am I right? I mean, they're going to be playing in the same court.
Yes.
I hate that argument. There's nothing that drives me nuts more than the altitude argument. It's not like they're going to play Denver.
But I do think it's a bad matchup for the Wolverines on top of it, because it's a team that turns you over. And the one thing we've harped on for Michigan, the thing that's caused them to come up short, one of their flaws is the fact that they are careless with the basketball. So okay, I think it's a tough matchup.
With four little people running around the court.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, correct me if I'm wrong. Okay. The 7-footers can't hold the ball up and say, ha-ha, nah, you can't get this.
Someone should tell Danny Wolf that.
Well, okay, yeah, don't bring the ball down. Vlad, keep the ball up. Like, coaching point, all right?
And Vlad could have a big game, but we've seen that happen in losses for Michigan because the guards get careless and Wolf gets careless with the ball. So
I agree.
Yeah, that's one way to look at it. Ticket Texter pointed out that Michigan State is not St. Patrick's Day green, Dan in Plymouth.
Does St. Patty's Day have an official green? Like, do we know what that official green is?
Well,
I've seen a number of different shades of green for Michigan State. So what's the... I mean, they have lime green.
I think St. Patty's Day green is like a more vibrant green. Like a brighter green.
Oh, Michigan State's just a dull green, which I agree.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that I think it's very like
green,
forest green.
Like it's like bright. I don't like a really.
And the opposite of that is dull.
No, it's not. I mean, it's like a fluorescent green.
Versus the fluorescent lime that they use on their uniforms. So when you open yourself up, Michigan has done it as well, right? Different shades of yellow and blue. It's different shades of green. There, you can't sit there and say, well, St. Patty's Day green isn't Spartan green.
They're all green. St. Patrick's Day green is green.
Green is green. Great,
thank you. We don't have to get the Benjamin Moore color swatches out here. If you wear green today, it's St. Patrick's Day green. Ticket Texter says...
All right, then.
Overruled, Heather. What does the Ticket Texter say here? They say, I'm just mad Longwood isn't in the tournament this year.
I know. It's disappointing.
The regular season, okay. The seeding has to take in the last couple weeks, too. Michigan says Michigan got screwed. A 5th seed. Wisconsin's a 3 seed. Wolverines beat them twice. Ahead of them in the Big Ten. And we have to play one of the best 12 seeds. Yeah, people not happy. I saw the most outrage, though, was the fact that North Carolina's even in this tournament. Did you see people squawking about that?
Sure. You know, especially after that. Did you see the guy step in the lane?
The lane violation on Saturday?
Oh, man.
Friday? Yeah.
That was just about as bad as the timeout in the Final Four. And I thought they were going to be – it was going to be that one play that knocked them out of postseason play. And then you see the AD – is the commissioner of the selection committee.
Well, John, he recused himself. He left the room for any discussions.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. As he's leaving. Remember, I know where you guys live.
North Carolina played Nevada ACC, went 1-12 in quad one games, and made it anyway because you tell us. The other one was Texas, who got in with 15 losses. Apparently, we're not keeping score of these games. Like, I can't imagine 15 losses should be in, but they are. They both are. Any other giant takeaways from the bracket?
Not particularly. I mean, it's. I think we all knew who 1-4 was going to be. The only going into the weekend, what did we talk about on Friday? It was going to be where can Michigan State get to a 1 seed? Well, if they had won the Big Ten tournament, there was an argument there. And Michigan winning the Big Ten tournament, I don't think anybody thought they were going to get any higher than maybe a 4. But if you look at where Michigan is, let's just say, and Greg brought this up before the show, they're a 5. If you just simply swap them with the 4 in their bracket, Texas A&M goes to 5, you go to 4. Okay, so you play Yale to begin with instead of UC San Diego. You know who you would play next?
Then you'd play the same team.
The same team.
Yes.
I just think barring like one of our local teams making a run, that we could have an outstanding championship game if it's Duke and Florida. Like, to me, that we might just see with Cooper Flagg going against Florida's bigs would be a lot of fun.
Oh, is that what your pick is?
No. I'm just saying that to me, for appointment viewing, we are set up to, if that were to hold, would be a great championship game. Everything, all the other magic aside, that it would create. Just appointment. That would be an appointment for me. I like, for sure. I mean, I always watch it, you know, but I would be like very intrigued by that.
And you're buying it to Cooper Flex just fine. He'll be there.
He might play Friday, they said, now that we're past the ACC tournament. Hey, they did win, by the way, the ACC tournament. Credit to them.
That's credit to them, but they also have other really good players.
They absolutely do. We're going to get to JB Bickerstaff pounding the table at 6:50, going off on officiating, some great audio. We've got open lines for Michigan and Michigan State talk. The brackets are set. Let's get to Heather with the news.
Well, a tragic drowning took place in the Detroit River over the weekend. A 19-year-old accidentally fell in. This was early Saturday morning and basically drifted away. I mean, it's such a sad story. The teen was hanging out with some friends early, right around 1 a.m., when he decided to go over the railing and sit on the edge. That was all fine, but when he tried to leave, he slipped and fell into the river. Mm. Officials searched for the teen, and his body was reached and discovered about 9 hours after he fell in. Police do say this was an accidental drowning, and they're kind of warning everybody, reiterating the importance of taking extra precautions when you're on the Riverwalk or when you're near any body of water, right? Those barriers are there for a reason, to protect you, right? Yep. And I know people do things maybe not like this, but there's areas I've done things where it's like, do not enter. And I'm like, oh, I'll be fine if I just go over here to get a picture, whatever. Yeah. People do that stuff, but they are there for a reason. Well, people leave all kinds of things behind when they stay at hotel rooms.
Yeah.
And staff at a Northern Michigan motel were quite shocked when they discovered an alligator left behind by somebody. Yeah, right? So apparently this animal handler had spent the night last Thursday at the Pine River Motel in Sheboygan and accidentally left Wally, his 3-foot-long gator, behind.
How do you... Yeah, thanks, gator. How do you accidentally forget an alligator?
Well, he had said he knew Wally escaped, but he thought Wally just escaped into the wild. So he said, oh, Wally's a goner, apparently. And didn't realize that Wally was just underneath the bed. So imagine the cleaning staff goes into this room, starts,
goodness,
you know, cleaning
monsters
the...
monsters under the bed. Somebody's having nightmares.
Oh, my. And they look under the bed to make sure, you know, nothing was left behind. And whoop, a little gator there. But you know what? They actually said they weren't scared because Wally was very friendly.
Oh.
Yeah.
Sure, yeah.
So that's what they did. They said he was very, very friendly. Apparently, this guy, the handler, was... part of a, he was like doing presentations at elementary schools or at one specific school.
Oh, so he legally possessed it.
So he was there with Wally and Wally's siblings, other exotic animals. But the hotel or motel didn't know Wally was going to be staying there in the first place. So I think the guy just booked the motel room, didn't tell him he had all these exotic animals.
Yeah, but if it's
him.
A pet-friendly place, then how could they say no?
Well, I'm sure there's some stipulations about what pet-friendly is.
Have to check to fine print.
You'd have to. I don't know. I've never looked to see if I could bring my pet alligator to a hotel room with me.
Well, no, but if it says pet friendly, how is he any different than your dog?
Well, normally, okay, let's go with that. But normally you still have to notify the hotel that you have a pet because there's an extra fee.
Can't be, yes. Yes.
Almost always there is. So he just needed to say, I have a pet. And they'd be like, all right, it's 25 extra bucks because we got to have a cleaning fee, right? All right. A police chase broke out in Shelby Township Sunday afternoon and ended in Bruce Township, where the driver was shot in the leg by officers. This sounds like it was absolutely crazy because it started over a road rage incident. That's why the chase took place. The driver allegedly got out of his Jeep, opened fire at the officers. Officers returned fire, shot the guy in the leg. And the guy was using, apparently, this long gun. Had four other guns in his vehicle at the time he was arrested. 31-year-old guy from Chesterfield Township. Lots more to unfold there, but he was arrested. At least 40 people have died as these devastating storms swept across the country over the weekend. We weren't impacted by this. Yeah, we had some rain and some decently strong wind, but nothing crazy for us. They say at least 81 tornadoes ripped through 8 states in the South and Midwest, destroying homes, businesses, schools, right? Wildfires broke out in several states, and dust storms as well led to deadly vehicle crashes because visibility was really bad. But it mainly took place in Alabama, Missouri, Arkansas, Mississippi, Illinois, Louisiana, Indiana, and Tennessee. Just devastation there for sure.
It's Heather with the news. We'll get to JB Bickerstaff and his comments following the Pistons' loss over the weekend. Great audio. He's pounding the table. But first, Michigan State, the draw, the region. Your thoughts, 97.1. Skimming the ticket text, there's one phrase I said that people didn't like. It's a day that ends in Y. I said Michigan's deeply flawed, John. And a couple people have an issue with that. It says deeply flawed, Jim. They have guard issues and they turn it over too much, but deeply flawed. They won the Big Ten Tournament Championship. How can you say that? Another one says, how could you argue they were seeded poorly, but they're deeply flawed? You can't have both. John, do you have an issue with saying they're deeply flawed?
No, I don't. I've said it a number of times that they're a team that we know who they are. Yet, can they at times put it all together and win games? Yes. And that's here's to hoping what we saw in the Big Ten tournament is who they're going to be in the NCAA tournament. But let's go back to the regular season, especially the end of the regular season, when you're looking at a team that can't find a way to keep the ball in their own possession. And even during the Big Ten tournament, they had those issues. Michigan State, turnovers, Maryland, Illinois. And it wasn't just that. It was missed free throws. And missed free throws, Vlad Goldin.
Yep.
Front end of a one-on-one. You've got to make those. Now, they ended up winning the game against Wisconsin, but it didn't have to be as dramatic.
Yeah, they have three pretty glaring flaws. So to me, that's deeply flawed. And you hit on a couple of them right there. Free throw shooting is going to be an issue no matter who they drew in the tournament. Turnovers killed this team. They've blown big leads. They nearly did it on Saturday against Maryland, blowing a big lead. Turnovers are a huge issue for the Wolverines. Now they're going to play Cal San Diego, who's fifth in the nation in steals. Like, yikes. And the other flaw that Michigan has is they do not crash the defensive glass. They give up a lot of offensive rebounds, 276th in the country. Well, who's in their little pod? Texas A&M, who's number one in offensive rebound rate. So it's a bad draw for Michigan. It's a team that, I don't know, I thought played well enough over the weekend to maybe improve their seeding. Committee disagreed. They put them on the same line as Oregon. They're both 5 seeds. They gave Purdue a better seed, a 4. Wisconsin a better seed, a 3. I think that's the story of Michigan. Talented, showed it. Weren't rewarded for it, and their flaws could be the thing that gets them bounced way too early in this tournament. So, I mean, if you don't like that breakdown, I'm sorry. Call in and talk about it.
And if they're not a flawed team or deeply flawed team, then UC San Diego shouldn't matter.
Right.
All right, then if you're going to play Texas A&M or Yale, shouldn't matter. Then all of a sudden, you're playing the number one overall seed in Auburn, team that has lost three of four and hasn't played well down the stretch. They're still number one overall seed. You want to prove that you're not a deeply flawed team? Here's your opportunity.
And then it won't be an issue. Texas says, gents, this is the Harbaugh effect, the NCAA's way of sticking it to Michigan. Ha ha ha. Texter says, Don and Shelby, I rarely agree with John, but he's 100% correct with Michigan basketball. And Jim complaining about their seeding comes across like Michigan should get a bye until the Final Four. No, it's nothing like that.
It's very, it's just odd that I would be the honest one and you would be the one that would be trying to, you know, put concrete up on the blue wall.
I just think the games all should matter. It's this radical idea that the games played over the weekend should be factored into the tournament seeding. I know.
And I think they were. I think they probably went up from a, maybe not as much as you would want them to, but going into the final 2 weeks of the regular season.
But the thing is here, look, I'm not going to get butthurt over this because I think they actually got a decent draw. Yeah. That first game is scary. This is a chic pick, okay? But the San Diego team. But, I don't know how you justify that they're two seeds lower than Wisconsin.
Right.
It doesn't make any sense. They beat them twice. They won a Big Ten tournament that Wisconsin didn't. Wisconsin had to play 4 days in the tournament. I mean, Michigan finished better in the regular season standings. There's no way to justify it.
Yeah.
Like, why didn't, like, yesterday, if you really want to get into the weeds on this, they could have had the tournament ready and had Michigan or Wisconsin on the 5 line and Michigan or Wisconsin on the 3 line, and whoever won got the 3.
Just swap them.
And it wouldn't do anything to the tournament whatsoever. But I do think, you know what, if you got Wisconsin's line, you're in Duke's bracket.
Pick your poison.
Right.
And listen, this isn't a new phenomenon where the Big Ten tournament title game has been meaningless. Michigan State's dealt with this for years. Spartan fans could tell you they saw this coming a mile away. When we talked last week, I said, well, they got a case for the one seed. Spartan fans go, nah, it doesn't matter if they win because that Big Ten tournament's not going to get credit anyway.
They got a great draw because of what Iowa State's dealing with basically their second best players out for the season.
Yeah.
So that's the three seed in your region. Nobody's got an easier path in my mind, at least of the two seeds, to the at least Elite Eight.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Michigan State's got a real shot to be a Final Four team, which I think is the expectation for them this year, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, it should be. I mean, for Michigan, I still have trust issues with them. I don't trust them to win the first game. They could get all the way to the Elite Eight. I mean, look, that would be the awesome thing if they played Michigan State to go to the Final Four. It'd be one of the greatest sporting events we've witnessed locally. But for Michigan State, I do think it should be Final Four or bust. Are they better than Auburn all season long? No. That's why Auburn's the one. But this is going to be one of Izzo's best last shots, probably.
Look, it's a deep group. We've talked about how they're built for this tournament. They are deep in the backcourt. They're 9-10 deep total. No, they don't shoot particularly well, and that could be what gets them beat, right? Or you run into a hot guard. Wisconsin's Tanji was lethal on Saturday. But this is a team that should handle their business. And if you get to the Elite Eight round and it's Auburn, well, welcome to what you have to do when you get to March, right? You have to upset somebody. But it's not like Auburn looks unstoppable the way they did a month ago. Again, they've lost three of the last four to get to this point.
Yeah.
They're mortal. No excuses.
I don't have an issue with either one. I think it's a good region to be in. And hopefully in the Elite Eight, we get a chance to see the matchup that I know Michigan fans want. I don't know about Michigan State. Maybe they want to face Auburn. I don't know.
Oh, I think they'd rather take care of Michigan for a third time.
Which they already have. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It took care of them twice already.
Maybe they're just looking at it going, we've done that.
Have been there, done that? Yeah, I mean, the region's got one's Auburn, three's Iowa State, four's Texas A&M, five's Michigan. I mean, the region... I don't think it's some treacherous region. I saw a texter point out Louisville's a pretty tough 8 seed. They went 18-2 in the ACC.
Yeah, John, I'm sure Michigan State fans get bored of beating Michigan.
No, I'm not saying they're bored of it. I'm just saying, you know, once you get into the tournament, hey, let's win a natty.
You know what you said about Louisville? If they win their first game against Creighton, they get to play. They're playing in Lexington.
Yeah.
They're playing both games, but they play Auburn and Lexington. If you're looking for a first one to go down early, Louisville will probably be, what, a 7.5, 8-point underdog in that game. But in that environment, they're comfortable playing there. They've played there a lot. So,
and again, Auburn did not play good in the final, 10 days, 2 weeks of the season.
And they also got bounced last year immediately. Remember, they lost to Yale. It's been very interesting to see.
The thing is, if we're going to criticize Auburn for that, why would you think Michigan's going to make a run?
Oh, I don't.
After the swoon they went through. So it's ultimately about these teams hitting a reset button. Obviously, Michigan was able to forge themselves into hitting some sort of reset. No, you would have laughed at me if I had said they're going to win the Big Ten tournament on Friday.
Right.
In 3 days, they've changed their outlook quite a bit, potentially.
They did. And how much of it, because we saw their coach do something special and unique at FAU. How much do you think he can recreate some of that magic at Michigan? And can, not just while he's there, I think everybody thinks that, you know, he's a good coach. He'll probably have them on the path to being a tournament team on a more regular than not basis. But can he do it this year? How much of it's coaching?
My expectation for the two schools. I think Michigan's bounced in the opening weekend. Hell might be the first game. I'm not going to overreact to the Big Ten tournament. I think there's bad matchups for them in their pod. Michigan State, I think they can make the Final Four. That'd be my expectation for them.
But that's my expectation for Michigan State, yeah. I think they make the Final Four. Michigan, probably, I don't know. I'm not going to sit here and say I'm afraid of the matchup of UC San Diego or really, you know, Texas A&M or Yale. I think they're winnable games. I also think it's a 50-50 shot for me.
All right, we're going to get some JB Bickerstaff audio in the mix. He was pounding the table. He was unhappy with officiating. I get it. We'll get to it next, 97.1.
Hey, when it comes to managing your finances, you need a bank that gets you and is genuinely interested in your success. That's why I bank, and I think you should as well, with First Merchants Bank. Whether it's your business banking or day-to-day personal banking, First Merchants Bank is 100% interested in helping you prosper. First Merchants bankers are attentive. They're going to sit down with you, ask you as many questions as possible so that they can get to know you and build a financial plan that fits your unique situation. It's what they did for me, and they've modified it a number of times as my life changes. When you make the switch to First Merchants Bank, you're also going to get access to their highly rated mobile banking app with innovative personal finance tools. Plus, they're deeply connected to the community's needs because it's their community as well. It's where they live and work, and they volunteer and donate to local causes to ensure that we all prosper together. This is the difference of a 100% interest in you. For a better banking experience, visit firstmerchants.com. That's firstmerchants.com. First Merchants Bank, helping you prosper. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
John, I thought of you on Saturday night.
That's sweet.
Yeah, of course.
What were you thinking of?
Pistons. This is your game.
I know. They played well. Just not well enough. They were feisty.
They were feisty. It was competitive early. And, well, wasn't officiated properly. And J.B. Bickerstaff let people know about it after the game. Cade Cunningham didn't finish the game because he was teed up and tossed at the end of the third quarter. Before we play J.B. Bickerstaff, and I think this is great audio. I'm happy he said what he had to say. He was passionate. Did you think the game was officiated properly?
I didn't think so. But I don't think that the Pistons have been getting, especially Cade Cunningham, they haven't been getting the calls all year. And I mean, maybe one or two games if they're playing against lesser opponents, like the first game against the Wizards. Okay, they get a couple of calls. They have not been getting calls all season long. I don't know how long they have to be winners to earn some calls. I'm not a huge fan of that. And I know when you go look at the final, right, it was 20 personal fouls against OKC, and it was 21 against Detroit. So it seemed like it all evened out, but it didn't feel like it. In terms of just how Cade Cunningham specifically was being treated.
So the end of the third quarter is the sequence that everybody has fixated on. And the crowd's chanting, ref, you suck. They're unhappy. Cade gets tossed, gets teed up twice in a matter of seconds. It all starts with Lou Dort stepping on his teammate, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander's foot, and slipping and falling. They reviewed that for a hostile act on Isaiah Stewart because, I don't know, the ref's eyes weren't where they needed to be. So fine, you want to use the replay. They end up just ruling a foul on Isaiah Stewart, battling for the rebound. But then they weren't going to let the Pistons line up at the free throw line like is typical.
Right.
So Cade raises the question. Also, they're not even in the bonus. So Cade's got issues. And the officials clearly didn't know what they were doing. And I felt like they were insecure because someone called them out on it. And they ended up lashing out and ejecting a star player. We do not go to these games to watch officials. You do not have to eject Cade Cunningham because you had a potty mouth. You guys were screwing it up. And you didn't like that someone called you out on it. And I'm happy JB Bickerstaff had his guys back after the game. Here's the audio. Then he gets up and leaves.
That was awesome.
Awesome.
Knowing that he'll hear from the front office, not the Pistons front
office.
The league office. And there hasn't been an official fine yet, has there?
Only a matter of time.
Yeah. And so it's going to happen. But I love the fact that whether you agree with him or not, and I think most of us agree with him, because if you're not going to review an elbow to the head and neck area, to the throat, but you're going to review something that was clearly a foul, but not a, you know, nothing nefarious involved.
Dort slipped on a teammate, but they right. reviewed it.
And so it just, that's where you're like, okay, at some point, the Pistons got to gain some respect. And I was watching the highlights again Sunday morning, and I was disgusted by a couple of anchors that they were laughing at JB for. Well, and they were saying, well, if you slam your hand on the desk, then it just means more. Like, the amount of disrespect the Pistons are getting from not just one news outlet, but many news outlets, because they just don't want, they look, and they actually said this.
So they were dogging him.
They were dogging him. And they were laughing at him. And they said, you know, this is a team that this time last year had 12 wins. And basically their point was, well, just keep winning and maybe things will, you know, you'll gain a little respect.
No, but Jamie's
this
point is we're
not. This is a 37-31 team. This is not last year's team. This team does deserve respect, and they're not getting it.
Well, I think that's JB's point, is winning should lead to respect.
Yep.
And I loved one of the things he said in there. We deserve a level of respect because we're competing our tails off and bringing something positive to this league. The Pistons are the rare exception. They defend, they run, they throw oops. They're not running like a math equation to get a three every possession down the floor. They're refreshing. They should be treated not better than anybody else, the same as everybody else. And I love that JB did this. You know who else would do stuff like this? Phil Jackson, other great coaches. If you're going to lose this game, fine. It's one of 182. Lose the battle, but don't lose the war. This is a big spotlight game with OKC in town. Your star gets tossed in the end of the third quarter because he's mouthing off to the officials. Well, why is he doing it? Because the officials have their head up their rear. So you can say something about it after the game and say, fine, we lost today, but the league better respect what we're doing here. We aren't some 14-win team from a year ago. It's not enough, apparently, for us to be winning. We still don't get respect. Good for him for saying something.
Well, it's obvious. I mean, the NBA has so many issues. And when people tune in to see the Pistons, they see a different brand of basketball. They see one that is, it's just high energy. And you talk about defense. You can talk about all the different things, the young players and the excitement. They're just playing a different brand of basketball, and it feels like it doesn't fit the NBA mold. So since it doesn't fit the NBA mold, officials don't know how to officiate it. They don't know how to react to it. Then nobody knows how to handle what the Pistons are doing. And while everything's going to go against them, we don't like it. You're not following the mold. You're not following the script. So if you're going to do something different, then we'll officiate it different.
Some of the early ticket techs. We got open lines. JB Bickerstaff sounds off on officials after the game. Have the Pistons done enough to deserve more respect? Texter says, I didn't realize you could push off so hard without it being an offensive foul. SGA got away with it all night.
He did. The ability for him to manufacture fouls. Now, he's a great player.
But that's what makes it more frustrating. It's the James Harden thing. Remember when he was at his peak and he didn't need to bait for fouls, but he did.
He was a master at it.
And it takes a... see what you did there. It takes a guy who can score 30 and all of a sudden he's flirting with 50. right?
Yeah.
Because you can get wherever you want on the floor and get to all your spots because teams aren't allowed to contact you.
Right.
Texter says, what does respect have to do with the rules? Shouldn't the rules be applied to everyone the exact same? Oh, you're so naive. If only it were that simple.
Right. I know.
If only.
I know. I keep thinking to myself, too. I'm like, it should be. There shouldn't be many shades of gray. It should all be black and white. Foul's a foul.
Should be. Texter says, tired of grown men complaining. Says, I watch the WNBA. They don't complain the way that the NBA players do.
I don't want to go down that road right now.
You got to stick up for your team. That's what JB Bickerstaff did. It's 97-1.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hi, I'm Julia Brufke-Wanger, founder of Phoenix Tax Consultants, home of the Tax Tacklers. It's tax season, and I genuinely understand the complications and frustrations that go into preparing to file. I believe that taxes should not be a do-it-yourself activity. You should leave it to the professionals. Whether you have a straightforward W-2 or a more complex return or business, our clients come back year after year. Schedule your virtual or in-person appointment today at TaxTacklers.com.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Kickstart your new year with a rewarding career at the HK Group. HK is the leader in heavy construction and contractor site materials with over 80 locations across Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Delaware. HK offers a wide range of opportunities, including heavy equipment operators, CDL drivers, mechanics, site supervisors, engineers, and project managers. 100% paid benefits designed to promote healthy living, financial stability, and career growth. The HK Group does not discriminate. Apply today at hkgroup.com. It's your future opportunity.